there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast. Here are your hosts, Jonathan Von Tobel and Kelly Bidlin.
What's up, folks? Welcome into Hardwood Handicappers. It is the Monday edition post March Madness first and second rounds. Oh boy, it's been quite a few days. I went a little too hard for a couple of days. It's been wild. There's been, you know, betting and drinking and everything else. And man, it was just, it's the first round, this first two rounds of the tournament, Kelly. I feel like
and
this
doing
is, I
shows.
Don't know. Yeah,
and
you know,
doing
like
shows
everything.
All throughout. Yeah.
Writing. Like, I just, I feel like this out of, in my adult life, I have to say, I think this was the most I really kind of got into the madness outside of like my first year in like media, the Westgate out in Las Vegas. They used to actually have you been to their theater yet?
No, I never have actually. No, never. I have not spent any significant time anywhere else in that place besides the sports book.
So their theater, what they do is they have like, you know, they open it up and you can watch all the games and they have all the TVs set up and everything. Well, the Westgate used to have the second story or the balcony seats in the theater. If you got a wristband, you would go in there and it was open bar. And
oh god,
and, right. Yeah. And so and that was my first year in media where it was like, oh, hey, by the way, we do remotes out here. Here's a wristband. And I go, oh, what's this wristband for? They go, oh, you can watch the games upstairs and it's an open bar. And I was like, I'm allowed to do this?
Say open bar.
Right. Like I'm 20, you know what I mean? And I'm 22. Yeah. And I'm like, you really? Like we're allowed to just like do this after we're done working? They're like, yeah, sure. So one of the that year, and I think if
just
I remember
be done
correctly,
working.
It was the yeah, right. It was the year that Mercer beat Duke. Was that that was like a 2015 year, right? Whatever year that was. That was the year where, right, you know what I mean? But that was the year that, maybe I wasn't 22, maybe I was like 23, but like 24. But regardless, it was great. And I think that this is the most I've really gotten into like all the madness stuff since that day.
For me, it has definitely been the most in years. I will say that, in years. But that's mainly more to just different show schedule, right? And having to be like prepared and know what you're talking about.
I do it with me for 4 hours on a Saturday, right?
Right, exactly. Like our show on Saturday, that's for sure. But yeah, you know, to your point, man, absolutely. You know, in golf and NBA were kind of where I make the vast majority of my money betting. Oh my gosh, do I feel like I barely watched any of it this past weekend? That's for sure.
I mean, it's the NCAA tournament. You have to, right? But we still did have the NBA over the weekend. And it was kind of a quiet weekend. Like outside
it didn't
of
shut down.
Yeah, no, of course. And you know, you go back to like Friday in terms of results, like there were some results that were worth noting. But I wanted to hit on at least a couple of things with you here before we move on to it's gonna be a pretty short episode because not a lot in terms of updates. We do want to get through a schedule that has six games on it today.
Yeah.
One of the things that I wanted to hit with you is going back to Sunday night. And it's both disappointment and it's also a talking point. But the Atlanta Hawks on Sunday night. Oh, boy, what a day for the Atlanta Hawks. Closing as 10-point favorites on the road against the San Antonio Spurs. And I feel like, Kelly, and we're going to open up with this because I when it comes to my writing, I know you read every day. When it comes to the writing of the articles, I feel like we're so deep into the season and so many things happen over and over again that I feel bad because I feel like I'm repeating a lot of the same stuff.
Right.
But I keep kind of harping when it comes to these Spurs, Pistons, and Rockets, mainly the Spurs and the Rockets, that like, hey, man, like you're not getting what you think you're getting here. And yeah. you just yep. got to be careful with this. And sure, and I wrote this down. This is what I was writing down on this old Philadelphia 76ers win the NBA Finals ticket that I found. since the All-Star break, tanking teams, we'll call them, Detroit, San Antonio, Houston, 17 and 21 against the spread. But if you also look, the San Antonio Spurs are now 5-7 straight up, 6-6 against the spread. The Houston Rockets are 5-7 straight up, 6-7 against the spread. So those two teams have not been the rollovers like the Pistons have been since the All-Star break. And again, yesterday, all three played. And you know that there were people who put a money-line parlay together of the three teams that were playing them, right? New Orleans, Miami, and Atlanta. And again, that thing got blown up. You were barely getting above plus money because two of those favorites were well over $4. And that thing got blown up because the San Antonio Spurs came back against the Atlanta Hawks. And I wanted to focus on the tanking aspect of this first because I think that bettors are starting to realize a little bit here. Like, I haven't seen licking my finger and testing the wind. I haven't seen a lot on Twitter anymore of this, like, hey, tanking teams got to bend against yeah. them, because I think a lot of people have gotten burned. And yesterday was another great example in that second half with San Antonio against Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, so sometimes the best way to wake up and realize you're doing something wrong is to get burnt once or twice. So yeah. I think maybe it might be some of that too, right? People are, they might have gotten burnt once or twice by it, but then they're like kind of realizing it, you know, not everything is exactly how you would perceive it to be heading into the final stretch here. I don't know about you, but I guess I kind of have the Pistons and the Hornets in this different class of, like, if you're actually going to look at teams that I think are kind of tanking, I think it's those two. And not even that, right? I think it's the, you know, like James Wiseman. Like, I'm looking at this, the box score right now, 22 points and 13 rebounds in that game against the Heat on Sunday night. Like, a lot of this for the Pistons and Hornets is going to be trying to, all four of the teams, including the Spurs and Rockets. It's, you have young players that you're trying to figure out. And just this goes for your whole roster. Who's going to be here next year and who's not, right? So this mm-hmm. is the time for them to try things that maybe they weren't doing at the beginning of the year or midway through the year. And I think for the Rockets, I think everybody should always understand anytime they win, because I think they still have a few players on that team that at least are high quality level scoring players. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you add a star rookie there too, that you know you're going to continue to get a high workload out of. You know, like, I don't think that should surprise anybody. And the Spurs, kind of same thing, right? You get a bunch of guys that are trying to figure out who's going to be on the team next year. And they're playing hard every single night. So yeah, I think the Rockets and Spurs are kind of in this different class to me.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, how many times have we talked in the past 2 weeks where it's like, hey man, like, I haven't made the bet yet, but, what do you think about the Spurs plus whatever? You know what I mean? I feel like one of us has brought that up like every show we've done. But yeah, the Pistons and Hornets, I do look at differently. And that doesn't mean I'm actively looking to bet against them. Kind of like, you know, like you brought up, I don't think anybody should be thinking that way in the NBA right now with those bottom level teams. But they're ones I have more circled to keep in mind. Hey, like, this is... they're throwing some stuff against the wall right now to see what sticks.
Yeah. Well, and with the Pistons, I mean, because I think you hit this right on the head. Like, the Rockets and the Spurs are not actively trying to better their position. They're just rolling their bad teams out there and going at it. And mm-hmm. that's about it. They have some young players that you're going to get some high upside performances from. And when the market reaches too low of a point, they're going to start covering some numbers like Houston has been lately, or like San Antonio has been. And by the way, when I read off those numbers again, 17 and 21, against the spread since the All-Star break. Remember that San Antonio and Houston actually played each other twice. So you can, you know,
yeah.
fudge those numbers a little bit and bring those down. Regardless, you're up, but you're barely up. And if you've been rolling these money line parlays together, which I know is pretty popular, it has not really been successful for you here. You are down. And to your overall point too, like, I think Charlotte's a really good example and Detroit is a good example. When you look at Detroit's injury report every day, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous what is on there and how many dudes are on there.
Yeah, so I don't know if people, again, I would not advise. I mean, this is not the NFL. If you finish with the worst record, it doesn't guarantee you the number one overall pick. That's not how this works. But, you know, if we are going to split apart these teams, yes, I think Detroit is in a separate class, maybe all by itself, because when you see an injury report like that, Yeah, of course. Of course, most of those are real injuries. I'm not really trying to doubt the injuries status of all these guys, but you got a lot of guys on the injury report. If that ain't a waving the white flag, I don't know what is, right? Well, when you're seeing that night after night.
It's not a fake injury, but like there's an example, right? Like, so, you know, we have later today, we'll get into these games, but like we have Larry Markkanen on the injury report today with back soreness, and he's eventually ruled out. But like sometimes if you have some back soreness, if you're in something, you'll probably play. But if you're the Detroit Pistons, you're telling your guys, Al, you know what? Let's just, you don't need to play
there's
through
no
that.
No risk. Let's just make sure, why risk it? Yeah.
Exactly. So they're not faking injuries. It's just there's no need to try to exacerbate it for pretty much, actually, nothing, for absolutely nothing.
And with Charlotte, it's okay. As soon as LaMelo went out and like you guys were already way, way on the outside looking in of a playoff, you know, trying to get into that play in range anyways. As soon as LaMelo went out, I think that was the time for them, right? It's like, okay, it was going to be tough for us to, we would have had to finish the season amazing just to get into the play in tournament. Now they knew they stand no chance. So I think those are, I hold those four teams kind of in two different tiers when I think about that.
Yep, absolutely.
And there's maybe one team that I could add to that that group of four or to one of those.
I wonder if it's one of the ones
that I might
I'm
be betting
of.
against tonight.
Interesting. Okay, I wonder what that is. We will get to that because there is a team that I think is starting to play some shenanigans. I think I know who you're going to be talking about. But there is a team that is starting to play shenanigans with their own availability with some star players that I, whatever. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The other side of this.
I think I got you thinking.
Yeah, you got me thinking about that for a second. I was looking at the schedule. I think I know who you're talking about, though. They might be 6.5-point home underdogs if I.
Bing, bing, bing. You got it. There you go.
we're talking about the Utah Jazz. The other part of this that I wanted to bring up, too, is just so we're looking at the standings overall and the other like ripple effect of what happened and what transpired there is I think we're cooked with our Atlanta Hawks division bets. Three games back. Yeah. That's such a bad loss. This team is inconsistent as like they are inconsistency personified, right? Like they're just, if you were to look at, like, to use the old cliche, if you were to look up inconsistency in the dictionary, you would get a picture of the Atlanta Hawks roster of this, like, of this era. They have not won three consecutive games since the start of January when they won five straight. So
that's
incredible. Right? Like in today's NBA, have you not been able to do that? It's absolutely wild. It's just been a bunch of two-game winning streaks, two-game losing streaks. It is good defensive performance followed by bad offensive performance, vice versa. It's wild on any given night how different this team looks against any single opponent. How you can at home beat Golden State, who continues to lose road games, who we'll talk about momentarily, and then go on the road a day later and in the second half, do what you did against the San Antonio Spurs, where you give up nearly 40 points in the third and only score 15 points in the fourth quarter. Like, I don't know what is happening with this Hawks team, but this is incredible how bad they have been.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we made the argument, you know, a couple weeks ago that it was the, like, what the hell took so long to get Quinn Snyder in here? Right. Like, you know, we knew this, the Nate McMillan stuff was coming months ago. So what took so long? And now you make a coaching change with so little time left in the regular season. And I mean, look, he's got a built-in excuse. Like, I can't, like, it's almost impossible to blame. If the Hawks don't do anything this year, you can't blame anybody, really, except for, I don't, you know, some of the star players on the team. That Trey's definitely been hearing that this year. There's no doubt about that. But you know, nobody's getting fired for what's going on there anymore. And I think, you know, for him, you know, for Quinn Snyder, I think he's looking at it kind of like the way we just talked about some of these tanking teams. He's kind of evaluating this roster for going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and if you're looking at it, too, from a cover standpoint, I mean, I guess you can sit there and fade away Atlanta if you'd like. And they have been below the number right now. They're 30-40 against the spread for the season. They've been pretty undervalued. I haven't found any consistency, and there's nobody who's out there betting every team either one way or the other every single night. I found no consistency with them whatsoever. They have been, I will go back, Kelly, and look because I keep track of all my bets. I don't think I have bet on or against the Hawks at all this season. Maybe twice.
Yeah. Once.
They are so wildly inconsistent on both ways that I cannot get a read for them in any way. Yeah.
You know, I have a strong affinity for this team. So I definitely did at the beginning of the year, but oh man, I haven't touched a game, you know, like you said, on or against them. I don't know. It's been months for sure. I mean, that's that whole, I mean, I'll include the Heat though, right? They're the same way to me. They're a really tough team for me to, I'm never betting on. I've bet against them a few times here recently, just when I think that when the numbers have been starting to get overrated a bit. But even, you know, before that, it was barely anything all year.
Yep. I was also trying to look to see, you know, it's funny now that we're getting down to the final three, we're literally 3 weeks away from the end of the season. And I was looking at trying to find maybe some of these to make the playoff markets and whatnot. And the only one that is up right now is the Lakers. But this this Hawks, it's going to be...
Because it's the Lakers. You got to have Lakers up, John.
Come on. Of course.
You got to have the Lakers. Southeast division odds are still up. Heat minus 2,000, Hawks plus 800, Wizards 250 to 1. You can't bet this. Like, the Hawks have 11 games left. They're three back. I don't think you can bet that at 8-1.
Well, again, like we talked about, we're talking about a team who... Again, who has not strung three straight wins together since the beginning of the year, the calendar year, right?
Like, can't do it.
You're asking that team, and if you want to go further back, Kelly, how about this? This is the more incredible part about that statistic. So they won five straight from January 13th to January 20th, okay? Again, for those who are listening, that is the last time that this team strung three wins together. Before that, Kelly, you have to go back to November 2nd. To find their other three-game winning streak of the season. So they have only had two stretches this year where they have won three or more games consecutively.
Wow.
That's it.
That is wild.
it's insane. It is inconsistency personified, man, because you go through it in terms of like, okay, well, this has been a pretty bad team. They haven't had a losing streak longer than four throughout this entire year. Like, that's exactly who they've been this entire season.
That is pretty great. That's crazy on both sides of it, right? Like, both for a team as dysfunctional as this team is, I would have expected they would have lost more than that in a row at some point.
They had a four-game losing streak, and that was it. There's no other losing streak longer than four games. How about that?
Wow. What a year.
They're 500. Like, that's exactly who they are. Like, you know what I mean? They're perfectly 500.
The most frustrating part about it, though, for betters, right, it's that, look, this was mainly a bet against the Heat at the beginning of the year and all throughout the year, right? And they've done their part. Nothing from Atlanta.
Right. We were right. Like, half of our hypothesis was right. The Heat stink. Yes. They're not going to be that good. They suck. And, like, going to hit the under on the win total. It's going to be great, whatever. But, like, dude, come on.
Man. Gee, that team is, and I feel like I always skip over one or two, like I always forget one or two teams whenever I make this statement, but like they are, what you saw out of Atlanta 2 years ago is what they should be every freaking year. I'm sorry, but the talent that they have on the top end of that roster is too good for you to underperform like you have the past couple years. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sit here and say they should be going to the conference finals every year. There's too many good teams in the East. But should they easily be making the playoffs every year? Yes, absolutely they should. With Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, I'll throw Capella in there. Those three, and Bogdan Bogdanovic coming off the bench, those four guys, John Collins, I never want to include him because I feel like he's going to be gone at any second. We're going to keep playing that game every year, apparently. With that core group of guys, there's no reason you shouldn't be in the playoffs every year. It's a joke if you're not.
All right. The other thing, there are two other things that I wanted to get to from the weekend from a results standpoint. One of them is going to tie into the schedule later today, so we'll save that for a moment. But I did want to shout out, because I got to tell you, so
shout out.
I have not been, this is a bet I made back in, I don't know, like December when they were pretty banged up and three of their guys were shelved for a little bit. And I've not been on quite as loud on the mountaintop. It's just been one of those tickets that I grabbed and was stashed away. It was like, I think this is a really good number. And it turned out to be the case. Philadelphia 76ers have officially taken over the second seed in the Eastern Conference. They have won 8 straight games. They are going to play again later. Mm-hmm. The Boston Celtics, meanwhile, they've been fine, but they haven't been great. Since the end of January, they're 14-11 in their last, 25 games. Just barely above 500, barely above in terms of their positive net rating in non-garbage time, plus 3.1 per 100 possessions in non-garbage time. Their offense has fallen off. they're starting offensively, Kelly, the Celtics, to look a little bit more like the team that lost the NBA Finals, right? Yep. Which is just, hey, if our three-point shots are going down, great. But if not, then oof, man, sometimes these crunch time games, and when it's a little bit more half-court oriented, our offense kind of gets a little constipated and we're not really looking that great. We're turning the ball over a bunch. I want to look at this from Philly's perspective, unless you got something on Boston, but I was asked this by Michael Lombardi earlier today when I did a hit. He asked if I was drinking the Kool-Aid on Philadelphia. And it's something where I'm like, kind of, like, I've got this ticket on them. And at the same time, like, when they're at their peak, when they're playing their best offensive basketball, which ties into what they've done with the change of their starting lineup, I think they can go toe-to-toe with any of these teams in the Eastern Conference. That includes the team that I do think is legitimately the best in Milwaukee. But what do you make of this dynamic now? Philly, Boston, the fact that the Celtics have now fallen behind the 76ers and that the 76ers can not only take the two seed, but win that division, which at one point the Celtics were like minus like 550 to do that.
Yeah. The only thing I'm going to bring up real quick with Boston is, look, with time that I feel like this, I mean, this goes back to last year too. This happened so much last year as well. This team is different when Robert Williams is a part of it and when he's not. Mm-hmm. This is a much better team just overall when that guy is on the court. And I think he's still not given enough credit, for how much of an impact that he makes, truly does make to a team. And look, it's been a pretty easy cruising season for the Boston Celtics so far. I'm not going to freak out over there, a tough stretch here recently. And especially when you can say that not everybody's healthy. To the Philadelphia point, I don't think drinking the Kool-Aid sounds like such a strong statement to me, where like they've always been good. Like to me, right. I knew they were always going to be right there. They are one of the top tier teams in the NBA. They have been since the beginning of the season. I keep making this statement, if they were out West, they'd probably be the one seed in the West right now. And we'd be talking about them as the Kings of the Western Conference, but you're in the brutal East. Yes, I still have them ranked third in the East. And probably third in the NBA as far as just overall NBA power rankings, but it's Bucks and Celtics ahead of them. And I don't think that's anything to be ashamed of, or there's not much you can do about it, right? Like we saw what the Boston Celtics turned into last year, and they are a NBA championship caliber team without a doubt. Milwaukee Bucks, we've already seen them do it, but that team, as Chris Middleton gets better, like I think this team is going to only continue to get better and really hit their stride once they get into the playoffs, and they can kind of use minutes differently with some of these older veterans that they're going to utilize that are going to be so important in the playoffs. But the 76ers, man, like they're good. They got one of the stars of the NBA that produces night in and night out. The development of Tyrese Maxey cannot be overlooked. And the fact that James Harden has not, I think everything is overblown when it comes to James Harden, right? But he's been a quality player this year in the NBA and a very good player for this team. I think one of the biggest changes with this team has been the rise of Tyrese Maxey and the consistency that he puts out almost on a nightly basis from a scoring standpoint. When, if you think about, one of the joke NBA contracts to me always has been the Tobias Harris one, right? And it's like, mm-hmm. you pay Tobias Harris money for the production that you're getting out of Tyrese Maxey. And that's, I think, where, if we're really looking at anything of what's kind of changed over the past couple of years, so that Maxey came onto the scene big time last year, and he's continued to be great when he's healthy this year.
Yep. I don't know. I really, I would agree with all your points. And the one thing I think I would push back on is, like, I've always come into this season with a sense that Boston was a little too highly rated by the market, right? Okay. Like they came in, they were, what, at the start of the season, like plus 390, whatever, yeah, something ridiculous. Yeah.
From the future side of things, completely.
Yeah, to win the NBA Finals. And then they get off to that historic start from a shooting standpoint. You're like, holy smokes. Okay, like maybe this is actually true. Maybe they've unlocked something here. And what Missoula's done is just get them to shoot more threes. And with that comes some variance. And they've had a really good shooting year. But you get to some of these slumps. I'm really curious to see how this continues to roll on for Philly, because the shift to Tyrese Maxey in the starting lineup has changed things. They have traded in defense for offense. And they have said, screw this. We can do it. We have an elite offensive lineup. And yes, are we below average on defense? Sure. But the probability of us having an off night is way lower than, you know, a Boston Celtics, because the Celtics are relying on shooting. We're relying on two studs and a guy who can run and transition and create offense in his own right, in Tyrese Maxey. And that is something that has, I think, like a lower floor, if you will, right, in terms of the consistency on a night-to-night basis. And you're really starting to see it, man. I'll put it this way, Kelly. You know, I mentioned to you last time we talked on Friday that I was kind of like, while my faith had wavered in the Clippers, I was more like, after this now, I'm just like, no, screw this. I'm like, I'm not moving off my position. Like, I picked them to win the Western Conference at the beginning of the year. Why would I come off of it? And the more I watch Philadelphia, by preseason selection was Philly, Los Angeles, the Clippers in the NBA Finals. Why would I come off of it? This team has been great. They're getting a lot better. Maybe Doc Rivers holds them back at some point, but the offensive returns have been so freaking great that I don't know. I'm becoming more excited about these Philadelphia 76ers. And by the way, as evidenced by this ticket I showed you, I've been in on Philly for like many years. Like, I've been waiting for this to kind of freaking happen. And yeah, I was there in the Al Horford combination, right? This is where that ticket was. It's 12-1. Right. I was there. I bet him the year before or a year after. I bet him the year after. Like, I've been waiting for Joel Embiid and the 76ers to kind of finally click. And this looks like it might be their best opportunity to do it. So,
well, I think the other side of the coin with the Maxey stuff, right? This is kind of what I'm thinking about, is you're talking about for that consistent offense that they're trading. Think about what you've given up is the consistent defense of players like Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle, but that you have no idea what you're going to get from an offensive production side night to night.
Well, right? I mean, you've given it up in terms of just putting D'Anthony Melton on the bench, right? Like, you can still bring.
No, I hear you.
You know, it's like you can still bring a consistent.
But I think overall roster construction, that was, you know, we looked at this team 2 years ago and it was, okay, the offense is going to come when it comes. But like, that defense should be there every single night. And I think they've figured out it's easier for them to get consistent offense every single night, and that defense will come and go.
Yeah. And by the way, too, we should note, so Joel Embiid, James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, when they're on the floor together, a plus 11.9 net rating. Their defensive rating is actually 112.2. So like, it's actually just slightly above average with those three out there. And their offensive rating is in the 97th percentile. And their most used lineup with those three out there, so essentially their starting lineup, James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, PJ Tucker, Joel Embiid, that net rating is plus 15.4 with an even better defensive rating of 108.8. So they have some lineups that still have a really high ceiling defensively while still churning out some really good offensive production. And I think you hit on the most important part here with Philadelphia, which is like, their roster construction, like you said, gone is Ben Simmons, gone is Matisse Thybulle, but they've constructed this to the point where you have PJ Tucker, who, he won't shoot the ball, but he can hit an occasional corner shot.
But he can hit a corner three. Right? Yeah, right. Like, come on, like, you can at least rely on that, like, on occasion. Yeah.
You have D'Anthony Melton, who can still space the floor when he's out there, as opposed to Matisse Thybulle, who can't while still defending. Like, it's
exactly like, that's a major overhaul. That really is. And it's probably not talked about enough, honestly, but it's a major overhaul for a team that's maintained a high level of play, because you're anchored around guys like Joel Embiid and James Harden. They have, under the radar, done a major overhaul of their roster.
Yep. Yeah. I can't wait to see what this team's going to look like in the postseason. They're looking better and better.
I mean, the other one that's worth bringing up, and I'm just pulling up the stats right now. It's only a little bit better, I guess, when you're just looking at blanket blocks and steal stats. But like, Joel Embiid just feels like he is having such a bigger impact defensively this year than he has in years past. And like, some of the numbers point to that. Some would say he's been about the same, throughout the course of his career. But that it's. There's, when we see these nights where he has like four or five blocks sometimes, and it's like, you feel like you're seeing that every other time he hits the court, where I just don't remember that 3 years ago. You know what I mean?
All right, let's take our break, because the other, I mentioned there was another topic that tied into a result from over the weekend. Well, that would be the Golden State Warriors, who are back in action yet again here today. So when we come back, we'll give you a preview of what we're going to see today on the Monday card. And I mean, we got to talk about it. Like, is it just a blind fade of the Golden State Warriors whenever they play away from home?
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
All right, back here on Hardwood Handicappers. I jumped right in. Kelly's taking a sip of water. It's all right. He can digest it. He can get it in.
Water's really not bad, but when you got the cubes in it, you got to be careful. Yeah. Because then you're rattling. You
know? Well, rattling is fine. We're in an audio medium, so that's important. My whole thing is when the ice gets stuck at the bottom of the cup, so then you go to drink it, and then the ice dislodges, and then you just get like the face full of like water and ice, and it spills all over you. Then you look like a slob. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. And, never happened to me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. And I'll say this, because you and I, here's the thing, and I hope you don't mind that I'm going to make this statement. You and I are both bigger guys. So like... when you get like water or like when you get like water or a stain on your shirt, it looks worse for us bigger guys because they're just like, you were just eating something, huh? And it's like, no, it's right. just water. Yeah. Like, you know, it'll go away.
You're already assumed to be sloppy to begin with. Right, yeah. So right. you look more to what people perceive you to be. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, yeah.
It's chaos. Absolute chaos. But, all right.
But having said all that, I'm still the guy that if I walk in like next Saturday for us to do the show and you're like, yo, Kelly, what's that on your shirt? And I'm like, crap, man, that might be ketchup from earlier. Like, I'm definitely still that guy. Like, that's
you put ketchup on eggs?
No. Oh, no. I think that's disgusting. Really? I'm glad you
so does my wife.
I am very against ketchup on eggs.
I don't
get that. Like, what do we hate? We hate the taste of eggs, so we got to ketchup it up? Ketchup is a dominating flavor.
It is.
If I'm going to put anything on eggs, I'm putting a little bit of hot sauce.
I enjoy ketchup on eggs, but not every time. I'm like, if I have eggs 10 times, I'll put ketchup on them like 4.7 times out of 10.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think.
Okay, I just heard from
that's weird.
I just heard from the other room. By the way, you're a liar. Like, I just heard that from the other room.
As in what? You put it on more than that or less?
I think that's what she's saying. Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's good to know.
I mean, like, I'm okay with people mixing up the way they eat eggs, but like people that are like, I only eat eggs with ketchup. I'm like, okay.
So yeah, I'm not an only guy.
Ketchup. Like, you really like ketchup, right? Like, that's what it is. It's someone who makes a grilled cheese and dips it in ketchup. Like, you love ketchup. Like, it's.
I also, earlier today, thus the you're a liar statement that I hear from like the other room. I may have to gross my wife out. I may have like purposely squirted like a dab of ketchup in my mouth while I was eating eggs this morning, just to like, you know, just gross her out. So.
Just to get a reaction. Yeah.
Yes. Speaking of a reaction, we need some sort of positive reaction from the Golden State Warriors on the road. How about that? I don't know what this is. This has been incredible to watch for the Golden State Warriors as, over the weekend, It just keeps happening for the Golden State Warriors.
It really is incredible.
I don't even know what to say about it anymore. So Golden State goes on the road to Memphis. It's a 133-119 beatdown at the hands of the Grizzlies. Dylan Brooks, who again we talked about, is, you know, it's getting old, but he told Klay Thompson that you suck or something like that. Now they're on the road again. They have dropped.
I can't wait till both of those teams are out in like the first or second round, by the way. Like, oh my God, let's talk more trash from two teams that have more question marks on them than about anybody in the league. Holy hell, am I sick of it.
Yeah, I kind of wish that there was like, I don't know, it could be, what is it? Is it the end of Rocky? I have never seen these movies, but I know it's at the end of one of them. Is it Rocky 4, the simultaneous knockout, like freeze frame or whatever? Rocky 3? I wish they could do that to each other in the playoffs. Like, I wish there was a result that would knock both of them out of the playoffs. Like, they were to play each other, and they were both just, oh, you guys are so bad, you're going to eliminate one another, and we're just going to move on with the rest of the bracket.
These are the things, man, that just make me like love the Milwaukee Bucks even more, right? It's like, just stay up there in Milwaukee, like up north in a market that not as many people care about as some of the major ones in the league. You're going to be up north. quietly just winning game after game with the greatest player on the planet, and nobody ever chirps. Like, there's nothing to say, nothing, you know. Hey, Bobby Portis and both guys are there to be enforcers when they need to be, but they ain't talking after every damn game like Dylan Brooks and some of these guys are on Golden State. Jeez.
Having said that, I have, I got a nice ticket on the Warriors to win the Western Conference. I got them at like 950, and there's like 5-1 to win the West. And I don't know if I have any faith in them actually pulling this off, but we're talking about today. So, like, that's the question for you. Is this just the blind play against the Warriors until they snap out of this? Right now, we're looking at Golden State minus 11. This opened up 9.5 on the overnight. We're up to 11 now with a total of 236.5. And that's the other part about this, Kelly, is the market is moving in their favor in almost every single one of these games. Remember that Memphis game? Overnight was 5, got down to 1.5 favor of Memphis. Memphis rolls in that game. Like, the market is starting to try to get this where the Warriors are going to win some of these road games, but I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what they've shown you to actually believe. And it flies in the face of what we just talked about earlier. The Rockets have been playing like fine. They've been staying in some of these big numbers, especially at home. I get it's a back-to-back for Houston, but I don't know what you've seen from Golden State that would make you want to rush to lay 9.5, 10 with them on the road.
No, I hear you. I'm just checking injury reports. I think in this morning, Jalen Green and Shane Goon just got added.
Okay, and that would explain the line move here. So because
that would explain the line move, at least. They're both questionable because they played last night, right? I think they did.
Yes.
Yeah, they played last night. So that would concern me. Look, I think Jalen Green, one of your biggest scorers. I mean, those are two of their best players right there. So that them being questionable is definitely concerning. But if they play, this will be a bet for me tonight on the Rockets. It's a little bit, yes, everything we just talked about. It is fading the Warriors to a degree, but it's also just, I think there's too many people still out there just betting against the Rockets and Spurs, you know, night after night. This is too many points, for Golden State to be laying. So I'll see what happens as far as injuries go. But yeah, absolutely. Is it a spot in a game that I have circled tonight to look at later?
Yep. I think so. As we're rolling through this, I wanted to hit on one thing that I wrote about this morning. And man, I love this. I love the NBA. So we get Luka Doncic upgraded to questionable essentially overnight, right? And looks like maybe he's going to make his return. In past media availability, he had actually mentioned Memphis as like the spot they were targeting for him to come back. Well, he gets downgraded to out after being upgraded to questionable here. The other shoe that we're waiting to drop, two of them, Tim Hardaway Jr. and Kyrie Irving. So when I was writing about this morning, and I think I put it well too, which was like, hey, look, like I would not fire on this if you're you, right? Because you were just waiting to see officially what's going to happen with Luka Doncic. Yeah. But in the column I wrote up over 229, in the thought process that Luka was going to play, and he gets downgraded to out. So if Kyrie Irving plays, this might get back up to like 228.5, so I won't be entirely dead yet. But it is the dangers, and it goes back to like writing that column, dude. Like, I feel like I say it all the time. Like the last two, I've been like, yeah, sorry. Like you guys, like there's too many variables with all this entire schedule. You got to keep track of this. Like this is all this is at this point right now.
It really is tough. It's tough. And look, there's a lot of games. Like you and I have discussed this on the pod before, where you and I love, we look at overnights. We bet a lot of overnights. But there's a lot of times just, you're not going to be able to be in a position where you could do that. And so just because of injury reports. And I think that's where in-game becomes massive. You might not get that closing line value, but, you know, in-game, you could maybe get in that first half very easily on a number better that you were seeing the night before. So I think it's just something always for people to keep in mind. The Luka one was weird today, man. I don't know if you saw the same report that I saw. A report. I saw a tweet by a beat writer. I don't remember who it was, but it was Luka at shoot around. But the reporter mentioning that there was not much belief he was going to play.
Right.
like what the hell is he doing at shoot around? Then like wait, what? You rarely hear that, right? Like right, a player's at shoot around, and then but the, they're still doubting he's going to play that night. So I thought that was odd.
Yep.
I didn't do anything with. It looked like the betting market though kind of had it like that anyways, right? Wasn't Memphis like 4, and then after he got ruled out, they moved to like 5.
So when I was keeping track of it, like from the overnight to this morning, let me double check my notes here to make sure that I have this move all correct. Yeah, I had this open at Grizzlies overnight line. It's 1.5, 228.5. And then,
oh wow, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it got in the end. And then it's funny because the initial move, and it was one of those, go back to the last time these two teams played. Remember when you and I were talking about it? It was one of those instances where the movement that we saw did not necessarily correlate, because the game actually initially went to 229.5 and some spots reached 230.5. But then the line was climbing in favor of Memphis. And you were like, wait a minute, those two things don't really make sense. Right. Yeah. The total's not going to go up, but then Memphis is going to, you know, their probability of winning this game is not going to go up, because if the total's going up, that means Luka Doncic and or Kyrie Irving is playing. So mm-hmm. now we get this indication that Luka is not going to be out there. Now, again, if Kyrie Irving plays, and the troublesome part is, I don't know if you saw his quote after he beat the Los Angeles Lakers on Friday night. He said that his foot injury is actually a lot worse than he initially thought.
Oh, and I did not see that.
Yeah,
I was just going to ask you if you had seen anything recently of why the hell he's being listed questionable every single game.
Yeah, okay, so he misses three straight games with a foot issue, comes back, plays the Lakers, has a great game and, you know, wins it for him, and then, you know, says afterwards, like, yeah, the foot injury was just a lot worse than we thought, and we're just going to take it day by day. So that's going to be a big thing that is going to monitor here going forward. And we should also note, I mean, let me double check the injury report too. We're burying the lead on this Memphis-Dallas game because Jaren Jackson Jr. is listed as questionable.
Yes.
And if he doesn't play, that's going to be a feather in my cap for somebody who bet this thing over at a bad mm-hmm. number, because if he's not going to be out there, you're talking about a front line that doesn't have Steven Adams, Jaren Jackson Jr., or Brandon Clark, and we know how good Jackson is from a defensive standpoint. So we'll see if that is going to actually fall. But regardless, that's what we're waiting for here. And it's actually like, it's like every game today, pretty much.
It really is. What a gross game. And it just feels like, I feel like because over the past like seeming month with the Grizzlies and Mavericks, different injury issues and off-court issues and stuff, that their games, the injury reports have been like, they've been nearly impossible to bet on or against before about, you know, 30 minutes before the tip-off time with either one of those teams. And because of that, it feels like these two teams have played five times in the past, like, 3 weeks, which I know is not true, but it sure feels like that.
They've actually played three times in the last, 10 days, I think. Or like,
oh, okay, well, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not completely crazy then.
No, because they played in Memphis, then they had a rematch in Dallas, and then now they're playing here again. So
okay. I knew they had, like, just played recently. I didn't realize it really was three times, though. You're right.
Yeah, no, I think so, right? I think I'm right on that if you check their schedules. I think if you look, so they had a two-game set, a home and home, and then the Dallas Mavericks
when
had
was
two
that,
road
like
games.
A week and a half ago?
Yeah, so the last game was on March 13th. Yeah, so exactly. So I'm right, within a week. So yeah. Actually, this will be the third meeting. This will be the third meeting in 8 days for these three. So
this is another one where, like, I don't know if how much we've discussed this, but these games where they're doing these more now, you know, they started doing them more last year, and I feel like only people this year for some reason are waking up to this, not the home and home, it's the home and then home again, right?
Yeah.
Of these series. I hate betting the second half. I've got a lot of questions on those. I don't like betting the second game of those, and unless I have a really compelling reason to, I just usually cross it off the board immediately, JVT, just because we see how this works when they get in the playoffs. Like, the zigzag theory, there might be people that rely on that crap way too much, but it's still a thing to a degree because, okay, I mean, pretty simple. If a team plays well one night, you're not gonna change all that much that you did. But if another team that loses, you go back to the drawing board and figure out what you're gonna do the next night to, you know, figure out what the opponent just did to you.
Yeah, I think we'll have to have more of a conversation on this when we get closer to the playoffs. So I always look for reasons why, right? So like for the zigzag thing, is it just that the team that lost made a game plan, got better, and then covered a number and or got revenge and won the game? Or is it team that failed to cover, market then adjusts too much in the one direction of the team that already did, right? So you get like a half point of value, and then all right, like, it might on the surface look like, hey, the results are going back in the other direction, when in reality, maybe the market's just adjusting too much after one result, right? And thus, you're getting value on betting the other side when you come back.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the way we can look at that a little bit, I guess, is just comparing straight up versus ATS records in those kind of spots. Right. But that would only tell part of the story. You're right.
Yeah. And we'll have more because there's a lot of fascinating things. In fact, I was talking to, who was I talking to? Oh, it was Jared on the Live Bet Sunday. One of the things that we're definitely going to have a long conversation about once we get to the playoffs, shot quality numbers, oh boy, those are an awesome tool to use when you have these best of series that you have the same opponents facing each other over and over again. Yeah. All right, other games that are on the card later today. Did you have anything? Actually, let's go to the game. You teased this. Let's go to the late night. Sacramento on the road against Utah. Lauri Markkanen's not going to play. Kings are on the road. I think the Kings are kind of getting close to the peak of their value. Kevin Huerter's questionable once again, but you're in on Sacramento?
Yep. This is, look, I think I'm laying a bad number. I didn't get the best of it. What you just said is absolutely true, that they're kind of at the peak of where their market value is going to be at. This Jazz team they've looked really good this year, and shockingly really good when Lauri Markkanen's on the court and playing well. You don't have Markkanen, you don't have Jordan Clarkson. And yes, you could tell me the Kings are looking ahead to a big game against Boston tomorrow back at home, and you got to go to Salt Lake City tonight. I understand all that, JVT, but I get to lay 6.5 against a Jazz team that's rolling out that squad tonight. I'm betting it. I just don't know where the offense is going to come from for that team tonight. I think that's a major concern against a Kings team that's going to force you to keep up with them, right? As far as the scoring goes, even without Kevin Huerter, it's a bet on for me. 6.5. I bet it small already, laid it. I'm going to go back in though. I'm just kind of waiting to see finalized injury stuff, but I'm likely going back in for more even before the game, or I'll add live.
Yeah. I like
the Kings tonight, man.
So if you take Lauri Markkanen off the floor and then you filter for like a post trade deadline world for the Utah Jazz, right? You know, mm-hmm. so that you take out all the possessions that have like Jared Vanderbilt, Malik Beasley, Mike Conley. Without Lauri Markkanen on the floor, it is a negative 10.8 net rating for the Utah Jazz. Their offense, 107.9 per 100 possessions. Defensive rating still terrible at 118.7. So your overall point, if there's going to be Lauri Markkanen.
It's not like you're filling in. You and I talk about this a lot with the offense versus defense. It's not like you're filling in a defensive stalwart whenever Lauri Markkanen's leaving, right? You're just losing his offense. That's it. And his height.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you take Jordan Clarkson out of the mix, as you said, mentioned, he's not going to play. And guess what? That net rating goes down even further to negative 11.1. So they're pretty bad. They're pretty bad.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. I think the time to is coming to play against the Sacramento Kings. And you know what? Tying into what we talked about earlier. I was going to say, maybe it is that game against the Boston Celtics.
I have both. So I had this morning, I ended up circling both those games. Oh, like Monday morning, Sunday nights, usually when I'll kind of look at games for the week, just kind of look at spots, situational spots I think are going to matter. And I was like, I made a note about this game tonight, if, check injury stuff. Didn't think Lauri Markkanen was necessarily going to be popping up on it. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, okay, well, I'm in on that tonight, but I already circled the Celtics as a good bet on for tomorrow night. So I very well might be doing that. But yes, I am in on the Kings tonight at least.
All right. All right. Anything else? Because we're coming up against it, and we got to get this out there to the masses. Anything else that you had that you wanted to get through?
No, I'm just trying. Any interest tonight in Bulls or Sixers? Either way, that's actually a pretty big game for how well those two teams have been playing recently.
Yeah, no,
we've been playing well here the past couple weeks.
Yeah, Alex Caruso's questionable. Bulls last five games offense rating like 121.7. They've been playing better offensively. I will say that maybe the overtrend is back in action. That game did go over the total for Indiana and Philadelphia the other day. So again, Philly now, 7-3 to the over since inserting Tyrese Maxey into the starting lineup. So that's going to be something to watch.
Especially this total, if you take Caruso doesn't play, right? If he doesn't play, yeah, that could be a good bet.
So that's going to be something to watch. And I'll just say, because I alluded to this, Indiana has Chris Duarte and Benedict Mathurin and Tyrese Haliburton all either out or questionable. They're up to a 2-point favorite over Charlotte. I get it, but Indiana's starting to do some froggy stuff when it comes to the availability of some of their young players. So I wonder if they're not all too interested in making the play in, I would say.
They're just a tough one to figure out. So this is where, like, you and I have been betting the NBA for years now. This is just the time of the year where it's just too easy for me to cross games off the list I'm even considering, right? Because of stuff like that. And that's a game where you got both those teams that are doing weird things right now with guys I have no interest in. I have no idea who's even really interested in trying that hard tonight. And that's when you begin questioning things like that, you just cross it off the list.
Absolutely. All right, Kelly. Remember, for everybody out there, like, rate, review, subscribe. Check out everything up on VSiN.com, VSiN.com/subscribe. Get in on that specialty offer, $19, gets you everything that we have up on the website as a pro subscriber. So you can check that out and everything we do. And it includes the Major League Baseball previews, which are up by Adam Burke and of course, all of the NCAA tournament analysis from many of our great folks behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, you know, on the ear folks. They do some writing and some other stuff too. All right, with that, we will talk to you on Wednesday. Good luck, everybody.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown? Sleep Tight Stories.